Well, some of you have returned in order to give your report from your week, I trust. Our teacher last week gave a kind of assignment, and I wonder if he's done his own assignment. It sounded as sort of bipolar. He started talking about sun-faced Buddha and moon-faced Buddha. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Some of you were here. any experiences or reflections on sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha?
Can you remind us of what the assignment was?
Well, it had to do with one example was when we were out carousing, there's also someone who is sitting. Or the example, the story which gave rise to sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha, was that the old Zen master was healthy, very healthy, hale and hearty Zen master, had become ill, which was quite unusual. So his disciple came and asked how he was, how he was feeling. And he said, sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha. So you've had a whole week to work on that.
What was the question?
How are you feeling?
And that's what we're supposed to come back after a week and answer? Is that the question?
The assignment was to, when we are having some kind of identifiable experience which sort of tends to knock us off balance, like going this way or this way, do we have a sense that there is another?
Well, I'll say that generally not right at that moment, but later, yeah.
Later.
Usually. I don't know. Sometimes, yes, there's an awareness. Quite often, in the middle of it, then it's just dealing with it, and then a little bit later, oh, there's more than one awareness about this. That's my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to coming up last week and with the talk, I've had a lot of changes going on in my life, like getting a new job, getting back into singing and doing music, and moving to a new location. So there's been so many things happening, you know, big events in my life. And, you know, so I find that it's really easy as I'm going through my day or through my weeks, and there's all these big events coming up, you know, prior to the actual event, the build-up, and then when the event happens and I'm going through it, that there's a lot of movement and energy in my mind, and my body's definitely really active. And I found, I was talking to Hiro about this actually Sunday after the talk. We had had dinner and we were talking about equanimity and the talk that we'd had. And he was asking if I had found, or if I find, because things were happening good. Actually, everything that was happening seemed like I was in this flow or in this rhythm, like the rhythm of life was kind of, you know, dealing me a good hand, I guess, you know. And he was asking if he thinks that equanimity plays any part in that, you know. And I think it definitely does. And I paid special attention to equanimity after Michael's talk last week, and how that plays into how I deal with and handle the events in my life, and then also the outcome. And I feel like the outcome, because it's been fruitful and beneficial, definitely is a reflection of if I'm being equanimous, if I'm able to kind of be in the process of, say, interviewing, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's all that, you know, mental energy that's happening while I'm in an interview. You know, I want to get this job, you know. And then at the same time, when I went into the interview, I held it with a sense like, yeah, I want this job, but at the same time, almost like I don't need it. Like, I'm just here for this interview. Like, there's not the job afterwards, you know. Almost like the end, like the purpose is just the interview itself, rather than the interview for the job, you know. I felt like I was able to be more intimate with my interviewer and connect with him more. And we were able to connect on a personal level, which led to me getting a job. I kind of feel like, you know, I was able to handle it that way with the job, with getting a new place, even though the place that I'm in now isn't working out. So I put my 30-day notice in, like, you know, 2 weeks after I got the place. But I got a place when I needed to, you know. So, and then the music thing, you know, I wanted to do music again. I put an ad out on Craigslist. I wasn't holding on to too tightly to how I wanted it to be. And I have 3 great opportunities that presented themselves to me. So all that stuff happened, like, prior to the talk that Michael gave last week. And so I really, you know, have been sitting with that this week, just looking at, you know, how that's played a part in my practice and then in my daily life. And I love this old saying, so that's kind of been my experience, but I think that I've had the ability to even contemplate these events in this way, because there's this old teaching that I really love that I learned through my experience in Zen, where the Zen master is sitting there talking to an audience, right? And there's this young guy who's asked the Zen master, you know, you've been meditating for 65 years, you know, what's the core, you know, what's it all about, you know, like, what's, not just what's it about, but, like, what's the benefit, why, you know, after 65 years, what have you come to that you can say this is a valuable practice? And he said, an appropriate response. And the guy says, well, first off, you know, how do you know it's an appropriate response? Second of all, how did you come to being able to respond appropriately? And he said, by getting close or being close and doing nothing. And that always stuck with me, because, you know, a lot of times I think when we approach Buddhism or Zen, or any spiritual tradition that talks about letting go or surrender or faith, which I think for me, Zazen is the true, complete surrender to pure faith, with pure faith to surrender. So it's almost like he was saying, you know, when you become present with something and fully engaged with it, but at the same time, let go of it at the same time, you give that space for the appropriate response to manifest and to come up. So I kind of felt like that's what equanimity is being close and doing nothing. And, you know, getting closer, being close, engaging, but at the same time, doing nothing, in the sense not that nothing gets done, but that there's one that's also not doing, you know. So.
After last week's Dharma talk, I decided to work with my feeling of depression. So luckily, I was able to catch the moment there, my feeling start going down, and I just tried to admit to as saying I am depressed, but other also I just I don't know I was able to recognize other self, but I just told myself and I was not also I was not depressed. So and luckily I was able to maintain my feeling not going to that too deep. That was my observation.
Okay. I wasn't here last week for the Dharma talk, but I did experience being with some intense emotions, and if I have family that was in town for Thanksgiving, and I found myself, I hadn't seen my nephews for a while, and my sister and her husband, and they came into, I live with another sister, and they came in, and barely a greeting from one of them, not a greeting, and then they sat down, and then they were all within a minute or 2 minutes, they were all on their Blackberries or their laptops. And I sat there just being with it. It was like I could feel that I was offended, and that I was, you know, I could see the meaning, and that, you know, I don't matter, and all these things kind of came up for me, and I just kind of sat there with it, and then noticed it, and didn't try to do anything about it. And my other sister and I looked at each other one moment, and we just kind of smiled because she knew what I was experiencing, and I saw, you know, she was there too. And we were supposed to be meeting for dinner, to go out to dinner, and then they decided they wanted to order food, and trying to bring everyone together to place an order for takeout was just not happening. And I had like been saving my appetite, was looking forward to this meal and going out, and I had all these expectations, and I had to let that go. And then it was like at one point I saw that it wasn't happening, so I just got up and went into my room and sat down for a minute and just started to, I looked at my desk and I had all these papers that were in disarray, and I just started to go through and just do something. And this is not something I would have normally done before. I don't know where this came from, but it just, I just had a small task, and I put myself into that without making any meaning around that. And then someone says, oh, is Richard leaving? Did he leave? And oh, no, he's here. And then it was like, oh, well, let's figure this out. We should figure this out. And then someone just asked, what do you want to do? I said, let's go eat. I want to eat. So we went out, within 2 minutes we were out the door, and then we went to and had a great meal. And I just get that, like Abijah was sharing, you know, like just getting close and then doing nothing. And sometimes in the past I've seen how when reactions come up, I have this opinion, this judgment about myself that I'm more evolved than that. I shouldn't be having this reaction. I shouldn't be upset. And later on, I found myself in a religious discussion with my sister, and it got fairly heated. And normally, after a discussion like that, I would come away and just, oh, why do I do that? And this time, this was at the end of the evening, I'm like, wow, I really am passionate about spirituality. That's interesting. That's okay. And so the whole thing for me was just recognizing that oftentimes there's nothing to do, and just being with it, and being able to be powerful in that, being completely present no matter what's going on, even within myself, what's going on. I think that's kind of the message that I'm hearing, the sun, the moon, the dark, the light, just being with it. And recognizing that there's no right way, you know, that I see in any given situation, and just being with all of it. So this week was a powerful week for me, just to kind of go back to family and see who I am. That's what I saw this week.
Thank you.